The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Remember the Mean Advice Show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, the real Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, sweet-ass baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Now, I have never had any doubts about the validity of your identity, Travis. Why did you feel the need to clarify that you were the real Travis McElroy?
Well, Justin, I am grade A, stamped, approved, real, 100% American, verified by Twitter, Travis McElroy. My life has really turned a corner. I got that blue check mark. Twitter has verified me. Everything's changed. Everything's changed.
So from the way I understand it, you literally woke up and it was like any other day. It was like any other day. Maybe you could tell me there's like a sweet smell in the air, the sweet smell of honeysuckles, and you're like, something's changed.
The sun was a little brighter.
Well, that's just global warming.
Birds were a little just better.
Okay.
I think it's funny because there's been a big social media push recently. Mm-hmm. Trav, do you know any of the ringleaders of that who are trying to get you verified? There's a change.org petition.
That was Anna Giles. That was a huge part of it, I assume. But I also think it was just like my friends Kanye and Kim.
A different Kanye and Kim, not the famous ones.
Yeah.
Kanye Mendelsohn, your friend that works at Twitter.
Yeah, and he was pushing really hard. Dave helped me out. Just not a specific Dave, mind you, just like the general idea
all
of Dave.
Yeah. I do just want to point out Twitter, your verification process. It sounds really cool, considering that it needed no feedback from Travis whatsoever. You're just like, yeah, that thug seems real. Click, flipped it on.
He's real. I know. What they do. They go around in a circle. They say, anybody know Travis? And so he says, oh, I know Travis. He's real as hell.
And I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me here because I'm very excited to be verified, but I didn't receive an email or a notification or even like a tweet from Twitter.
What would be the utility of telling you that you're Travis McElroy?
I guess that's true, but like I only found it out because somebody who like follows all verified accounts was like, congratulations on your verification. I was like, oh, what? cool. Awesome. I had a huge, like I was going to throw a party. I was going to make a banner. I was going to do a big champagne toast. And that was all taken away from me because I didn't get any forward knowledge of it.
By the official Wendy's Twitter account. It was like, what's up, yep. Travis? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the squad. Free Wendy's for life.
The confidence that I've gained alone, not to mention like the immense amount of power and benefits that come from being verified, but the confidence alone has been a game changer.
You become a sort of vessel for the hopes and dreams of people.
Yeah. You are the orphan Annie of us.
Yes.
You are like, the sun will come out tomorrow because I have a blue check mark.
I'm like a folk hero of Twitter because they're like, he's not one of the rich ones. He's not a tastemaker. He's not a powerful person, and yet he is still verified. How did he get there? Is he a journalist? Does he work for some big company? No. He talks into a microphone 7 days a week because he's a dummy.
Is an inspiring reminder that literally anybody.
Any old jag.
Anyone.
Anybody.
Any fool. Anybody with like two brain cells to rub together can get verified.
Now, Travis, you've given me the confidence I need to pursue my live stream. Now that I've seen you accomplish yours with ease, you're going to see me accomplish my live stream, which is to destroy Twitter from the inside out, to eat away at it from inside like a disease. We have a lot of people who work at the trades listening to this podcast right now. What can we expect from Travis's new checkmarked Twitter account? What can we expect? Maybe like more like brand evangelism, some advertorials for like Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I've already been talking about Kroger. I've been talking about Nylabone. They're followers of mine. I'm not going to take my foot off the gas as far as weird, funny tweets at 11:59 just before I fall asleep will go. You know, you're going to see like 3-4 times what I've already been doing.
Nylabone is launching a men's fashion line, and they are having a hard time getting that ball rolling down the old hill. But here comes Travis, and he's wearing a Nylabone Dickie, which is their flagship product. And he looks fucking great. And you don't know whether or not to trust this Nylabone shill. But then you look at that blue check mark and everything's okay.
So, Travis, do you think when you tweeted, serious question, shouldn't it be Games of Throne? You think people at Twitter were like, yes.
We've done a great job on that one.
This is a tastemaker.
Good work here. This has been Travis's tweet review.
Let's just actually do Justin, if you and I want to do a comprehensive audit real quick.
Yeah.
Just see what verified Travis is up to.
I know. I've been a little bit on fire for the last couple of days, so you go right ahead. I'm pretty proud of some.
A lot of tweets about Gallivant on ABC. Lots of tweets about Gallivant, Travi.
Your one-stop shop.
It's a little bit up in the air, Griffin, and I'm unpaid, a huge proponent of Gallivant. I want people to watch it. I want people to go on Twitter, tweet at ABC, and say, hey, more Gallivant, please. Thank you very much.
I do appreciate you tweeting with Ashley Burge and Anthony Carboni about how great Monster Factory is.
I'm trying to get the word out. I want to use my power and influence to build up my tiny, tiny brother's careers. You know what I mean?
Do you feel an impetus, Travis, now that you're the real Travis McElroy? Do you think that maybe as a point of meditation for you that like you always have to be bringing it real 100% no games?
You know, it's actually the opposite, Justin, because I remember being in college and trying to figure out who I was, and I was like, what are the things I like versus the things I think I like because other people like it? And now Twitter has basically said, you are you, don't worry about it anymore. So now they've kind of let me off the chain because I know now I am Travis McElroy.
Yeah.
They have self-actualized you.
Yes, I am the most Travis McElroy I could be. Everything I'm doing is right.
Yeah.
I never, in fact, I should be doing more of what I'm already doing.
There's, I want to dive into just a subject that's important to me real fast, if I can. I know this has been a very Travis-centric intro, but I'd like to talk just more broadly about the whole sort of McElroy universe. You tweeted on April 29th, post-verification, I'm assuming. There's no subject I'm more afraid to talk about on Twitter than at Scott Bakula. His fans can be very intimidating. And then you got a response from, and I don't think we should say her handle because I don't want to.
Though I will say she is known in the community.
This user said that's because they are more intelligent than you, which you retweeted, which like I guess is fine. And I looked and I realized that I had this person blocked, and I realized this because I've tweeted about Scott Bakula before, and this person has come down on me like a flock, like a murder of crows.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
If you mention Scott Bakula, this person will respond.
Is it a bot? Even is it a like, bot? This fucking Scott Bakula Kingsguard?
No,
is this
because that they drop in out of nowhere and they will put you on blast, and it's but like a specific blast. Like
even
it's
if you're like Scott Bakula is the most amazing actor on the planet. I love him so much. They'll come back like fuck you. You have no
fuck
idea
you,
what you're
idiot.
Talking about. You're like cool, cool, cool.
This is like highly targeted. No, it is highly targeted attack.
And I know that it's real because when I tweeted that thing about being intimidated by the fans, a bunch of people responded, don't listen to blank. They are the worst. Even we in the community don't like them. So like this is just an outlier rogue Scott Bakula fan.
Don't track this person down and tweet at them, by the way. I do
Please
not
don't.
Want them to change this game. Yeah. I love this game. I'm sad I blocked them. I'm going to unblock them right now, honestly.
Yeah, that's why I retweeted it, because I respect the avarice. I respect
can,
the
Can commitment. The three of us adopt a highway, so to speak, and each pick a celeb, and then just fought, like add a column on TweetDeck, and anytime fucking anybody talks about them, we swoop in like Batman, like, hey, moron, and just like give it to him raw.
I think somebody said we're idiot. Like, somebody said, why won't you go on They tweeted at Scott to say, why won't you go on the show? Still, please don't do that again. Thanks.
Thank you, please. I had a lot of that. Had a lot of that after the last episode. Thanks, gang. Love your fervor, but let's bottle that one, that particular channel of it up.
We have channels and we've got people to contact. Thank you very much. None of them will work, mind you.
Someone swooped on them and said, it's because they're idiot man children. It's like, whoa, he just came out of nowhere with that.
All right, let's pick them. Let's do a quick draft for our Adopt a Highway project.
Oh, this is tough.
I know, it's really tough. It can't be like fucking Brad Pitt, because that's your whole life.
And it can't be anybody, I was about to say like a David Tennant, but I feel like there's already
too busy. Are you kidding me? On the fucking internet? That's where David Tennant basically lives, on the internet. He's basically like that movie Transcendence.
Should we pick other Huntingtonians? Should we do this for like Brad Dourif and Michael Cerveris? Like, where we could, if somebody tweets
at one of them, when people tweet at Subi Sales, we could defend him.
Like, how dare you?
I like that. I like locking down the H-Town game. I've met Michael Cerveris, and I would feel weird, like, because if I ever see him again, he'll be like, oh, you're my weird Twitter Kingsguard. And I'll have to be like, yeah, that's yeah, me. I'm sorry. I thought you liked it and wanted it.
I've got mine.
Okay, hit it.
Carrie OS.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to have a little bit of competizione on that front if you want to be the person that leaps to his defense.
But I feel pretty confident. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Okay,
and
yes,
I feel like you say the name, people know the name. He's got name recognition.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like there's already like a lot. I would have some competition, but I think I could nudge my way to the front thanks to a little blue check mark.
Why is this verified person so defensive of me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Justin. I'm getting through every filter on the planet.
All right, Travis, I haven't until now, but I am, to see if you actually follow through this, I am going to start following you just to see if you actually make good on this.
I'm glad that I finally earned your follow.
Okay, listen, this is an advice show.
Hold on, you don't want to know who I picked?
Yeah, who do you pick, Griffin?
I'm putting up my tweet announcement of who I picked right now, but I've decided to just go ahead and do Scott Bakula. Because here's the thing. this mean woman is doing a poor job. She's got a fucking itchy trigger finger. And I feel like this is more indicative of her wanting to say mean things to people on the internet, and Scott Bakula is just like the vehicle, the hearty Tostito chip that carries her hate salsa. Homie don't play that shit. He needs a better class of defender. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's an excellent choice. Okay. This is an advice show.
Justin, you're not going to pick one? You're just going to skirt the whole discussion?
I don't want to commit myself to it, because then I don't want people tweeting about me saying like, hey, your boy Peter Stormare is under fire again. Maybe you need to like get in there and help take him down.
Well, I think you just threw your hat over the fence. I think you just committed.
Here's the three. Okay, listen. I'm just going to say this real quick. There is an @BradDourif Twitter account. It has three tweets. They're from 2009 and 2010, respectively. These are the tweets. I gave Mr. Dourif's rep the info. Twitter ball's in his court now. Next tweet. Mr. Dourif is still not using this Twitter account. Sad music. I thought he and his publicist would use it for updates. Maybe someday. Third tweet, looks around, takes broom, sweeps out dust and cobwebs. This place feels a little empty. Only one person can make this place a home. It's so good. They set up a little, like, Brad Dourif exoskeleton, and they're just waiting for him to hop inside and take control. Oh, man. Okay.
I literally just added a Scott Bakula column on TweetDeck, and I'm going to be watching it during the show just for any fucking anybody who steps. Because here's the thing. I feel like we need this is volume two now, right? We need new segments, and I feel like we should endeavor everything that we do, every question that we do. We just like we try to make a segment out of it, and maybe a new segment is like Bakula Defense Force.
I'm tweeting right now about my love of Carrie Always.
All right, well, we should all close Twitter and do some advice.
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me. I'll pick somebody. Peter Stormare seems good. Like, but I don't think Peter Stormare needs me. You know what I mean?
Not like Scott Bakula needs me. Has to have me. Has to. Griffin, I must have him.
While taking a small road trip to Chicago with my girlfriend, we pulled off into a rest stop to switch off driving. While there, I decided to buy a bottle of water from a vending machine. To my surprise, there was a cold bottle of water in the bottom of the vending machine, just sitting there. I took the water, but now that I have it, I'm afraid it could be poisoned. Should I trust this mysterious bottle of water from a dirty old Indiana rest stop or throw it out the goddamn window? That's from Water Weary Wanderer. I cannot imagine that they are still waiting on an answer to this question.
Yeah, especially since Travis sent this email 14 hours ago. So,
yeah. Okay, what would you guys do in this scenario?
I don't think I'd drink it.
I don't know. I think I would. I think that if I was like, oh, I'm going to pay $1.75 or whatever for Dasani, and then there in the tray is the Dasani.
Is the Dasani you want.
I think I would be like, oh, swoop.
I feel like a true adulthood, or maybe it's not even adulthood, but like you reach a point in your life of financial stability where the 0.0001% chance that you'll drink something that will kill you no longer becomes worth saving a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that doesn't, like, okay. It just doesn't make sense to me that if you're going to go through the trouble of poisoning something, mm-hmm. why would you set a honey pot by which, like, the person probably would be inclined not to drink it? You know what I mean? Like, if you wanted to put a poison bottle of water somewhere, it seems like you would put it in a refrigerator at like a Speedway or something that people would actually like drink. Not like, you're not, why are you just trying to poison two people?
Well, hold on, Justin, you're thinking too much about like the physical poisoning. What about like a curse or?
Yeah, the curse is what I was thinking of also.
Yeah, something more along the lines of like, they have not physically altered the makeup of this Dasani at all. Except if you're the one who takes it, maybe you'll be thirsty forever.
Well, we are all going to be thirsty for, like, that's,
I hope.
No, so. I mean, like, no amount of liquid, no amount of beverage could.
Unslakable.
Yes, Unslakable. Thank you. That would be the name of the movie, Unslakable.
Unslakable.
I'm glad that we've pivoted away from poisoning advice, which is what we were, oh, boys, we were really dangerously teetering on the edge of becoming.
Let me tell you how I'd kill a stranger at a Speedway.
How to get away with cursing water.
I bet if you could market cursed water, it would sell really fucking well.
I don't know why you would curse. Okay, the thing about a curse is that in order for it to work, there has to be a sort of like...
A sacrifice.
An irony behind... Oh, or like
I see.
You have to, okay, if you take a bottle of water out of the vending machine that's already in the vending machine and you don't pay your money, you're just like doing what's best for the environment. You're not throwing that in a landfill. Why should you be punished for that? You know what I mean? Like if there was a table and on it, it said like for service dogs only, and you went over and just like drained it, right? Then I could see where you would be punished for that karmically.
Yes. And you'd wake up being a service dog the next day.
You'd wake up as a service dog, Shaggy DA.
And then, like, the evil wizard would show up and say, I said it was for service dogs only.
And then Tim Allen's like, when the fuck am I going to learn my lesson? When am I going to learn my lesson? I've got to dial it in. I know, I'm going to eat this cursed milk and cookies. Oh, shit, Santa Claus shit. 4, dog to Santa, yeah. Kickflip.
Santa Paw. Wait, that's already a thing.
Santa Paws. Yeah,
it's like that
too.
Time when he's. You know how the first one starts with Santa dying and Tim Allen stealing his clothes.
Yeah.
Chilly,
and then he's saying like, "Oh, I like these boots," and it's like, "Oh God,
I think I'll take these for myself." I didn't think that the scene of Tim Allen stripping Santa's corpse needed to last for 10 minutes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it was like bold film.
And 2 of those minutes were just a close up on his slowly engorging hog.
Yeah,
it's wild hog.
It starts
the
off
long scene of him digging a shallow grave in his backyard as he laughed, covered in blood. Was. I didn't think it was appropriate for a kids' movie, but one mentioned it in any of their critiques.
And his hog just fluctuated between different states of firmness.
As he laughed, it was like ha ha ha.
But then he got really chubby and grew a big beard.
Mm-hmm. And then we all had raging hogs.
And
we,
I think your problem was going to drink water anyway. What's water going to do?
Nothing. Yeah, that's it. If I'm going to try and poison a fool with a vending machine honey pot, you know I'm going to put some Fruitopia down there, not some water. Because even if you walk up to that machine expecting to get some water and you see a free Fruitopia waiting for you, my plans have just shifted in a wonderful new direction.
The HEB water you like so much, Griffin. What if they put that down there?
I've recently learned that it's being discontinued, and I really don't want to fucking get into it right now.
Okay, sorry.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
I'd like that. Thank you.
This Yahoo was sent in by Aaron Keyes. By the way, is there anything in that question that we could turn into a new segment? Maybe like Travis's curses or... No. Aaron Keyes sent this in. Thank you, Aaron. It's by Yahoo Answers user Darius, who asks, I want to be an explosive dunker, but I'm skinny and can do a basic two-hand dunk. I'm 6'6 already and 16. I want to be able to catch oops, which is, I believe, a shorthand for hoops jams.
I think it's short for Alex Oops.
That would be a great basketball name. You know how like basketball players, when they get like super, super famous, they can like change their name to cool sounding shit like Larry Bird. You think that was really his name?
Because he flies like a bird.
Because he flies like a bird when he puts those dunks in the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Explosive dunks. Little on the skinny side. I don't think that matters so much. You got the 6'6".
But he's got the height.
You got the height is going to be good. How can you learn to catch oops? Because I've always thought of that as being like sort of bred into a child.
What you need is you need a oops partner who is both taller and better at basketball than you.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, Travis. A good oops is a contract of trust between two people.
And ideally, what you want is for them to already be making the shot, and you're just barely touching the ball, and then you take all the credit.
I was the scorekeeper.
You received a trophy for that, didn't you?
A trophy for that and everything. Yeah.
And so what did you learn from your time watching the
people? Yeah, like you would be the best. If I dunk every day, then I only know how I dunk. As the scorekeeper might arguably be the best basketball player on the whole court because they have to watch like a hawk and see every dunk that everybody does.
That's why I try to tell people that I was the best one out there.
And you spent 10,000 hours as the scorekeeper, right? So you became like a basketball expert.
Sort of a basketball expert. You know, I tried to I got so into that groove, I tried to join the wrestling team as a manager. And it was me. And at the time to sign up for it, it was me and seven girls. And one of the girls said that job was only for girls. And that I should just join the wrestling
team. Sexism is alive in America.
I know, right? Finally.
This fucking Foxcatcher 2.
Yeah, I was told that I was, because of my gender, I was not going to fill that role. And I was like, I get it, you know?
For too long, men have suffered under the thumb of the matriarchy.
Right. So when people talk about like the glass ceiling, for example, and they say it's something that affects women, in my head, I usually amend that to say just that women... And Justin. Also, Willy Wonka shattered the glass ceiling with the Wonkavator. I saw it. Sorry, ladies.
He destroyed sexism forever.
He and Charlie just I don't know why naming another white man as his successor shattered the glass ceiling, but I saw it in all of its technicolor glory.
I think he just replaced the glass ceiling with a glass elevator, which is basically a little glass prison, which is arguably much, much worse. Explosive dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guys, I had some bad old chili last night. I got explosive dunks.
Oh, it's all raw down there. I think it's not about your size. It's not about the player and the pain. It's about the heart in the player. And
you're on some Michael's Secret stuff shit right now. I want to give this person practical explosive dunk advice. So an explosive dunk, I think you would define going from like zero on the floor. Not even, you don't even have the basketball in your hands to like up in the fucking paint hoop. From like how fast you can get up there and how scary you can be while you do it. It's an intimidation game, the explosive dunks.
It's all a mental game, Griffin. That's what I'm saying. You have to yell something out while you dunk. And the first couple times, maybe the first 100 times, you're going to yell something and then the dunk won't happen and you'll look really foolish. But on the 101 time when you yell like dunkums and you do it and you nail it, everyone's gonna be like, damn
dunkums,
damn
indeed.
Daniel.
I'm not interested in yelling something when I'm on the court going for a sick dunk. When I go for a nasty dunk, and uh-huh. What I want to be remembered for by my fellow players, I don't want to be remembered for my dunking ability. I want to be remembered for my kind and generous heart. So aww. Before I go for a dunk, I normally say something quietly so that only my fellow players can hear me, but in a conciliatory, like, considerate thing to say before a dunk. So, like, if I'm going up off the paint,
yeah.
Elevator,
woo!
Magic man,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
To go for two, the sickest two, I look at another player and I'll say something like, next time it'll be you, and then I'll go for
that's
it. You know what
nice.
I mean? Or like nothing personal, and then I'll take it down there. Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
you have a lovely family.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, your shoes are untied, but only if their shoes. I can't stress this enough. Are untied because you don't. It's not a prank. Okay, we're not on Salute Your Shorts here.
Yeah,
we're trying to play basketball.
What if you,
gentlemen?
What if you every time you dunk, apologize to everybody on the team? Because like I think if I ever joined a basketball outfit, and I saw one of my co dunkers get a dunk instead of me, I'd be like, oh, I wish I was the one getting up in the paint and dunking. So, like, what if every time you dunk, you'd be like, I know you guys wish this is you, but it's me this time, and next time maybe next time it'll be you.
You know what I found helps with that, Griffin? Huh. If I'm running up to take it downtown, like, if I'm about to, like, nasty dunk.
Yeah.
As I'm passing one of my fellow players, I'll say, like, boost me. So they'll, like, get a hand on me and kind of, like, help lift
me. Oh, yeah.
So when I do the dunk, like, they're not clear. In their head, they kind of feel like, I don't know if he would have made it. By himself, I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I feel like that gets them involved. You know, it's like fun for them.
That's like, Michael Jordan did that to keep his relationship good with Larry Bird. Because Larry Bird's a very jealous man. Holy mm-hmm. shit. And, like, every dunk that anybody gets, even in the games he doesn't play, every time he can't even watch basketball on TV anymore because he sees all these dunks happening. He's like, that should have been mine. And it's like, you don't even play for the Charlotte Hornets.
You could also act as though you're acting on, you could shout them out as you're going for the dunk. So sort of like as you're going up in the air, you're just like, Vlade Divac taught me how to do this.
Yeah.
And then Vlade Divac's like, hell yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the credit.
Thank you. I think every time you dunk, because I've never done it, and I imagine it's like the hardest thing in the world, right? Dunking. It's the hardest feat in sports. A lot of people say pitching a perfect game.
Why don't you get bonus points for dunking?
Exactly. Yeah. It's worth a paltry amount of points, but it's the thing everybody goes to the shit for the shit. I think you should get points for fighting in hockey too, but that's a whole nother kettle of fish. I think every time you dunk, you should be able to give an Oscars style acceptance speech immediately afterwards. Like just pause the game for like, it doesn't have to be very long, like 20 seconds. And just be like,
right.
For this dunk, I just want to say huge ups to the Space Jam soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of hard days in the old asphalt jungle, learning the ropes to the songs from R. Kelly. And oh, it's over. All right, back into the regulation time.
I think the problem
Larry,
with
I
that,
know you're watching this one.
Larry, I know
you.
You're watching. Just fucking cool it, dude. Stop calling my house at
stop
night.
Stop with the tweets. Travis is getting exhausted.
I think what the problem with that rule, they used to have that.
Yeah.
You guys are too young to remember. They used to have that. But the problem is you had players who started telling very interesting stories in 20-second chunks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of it, they'd be like, and if you want to hear how this one wraps up, if you want to hear how I got out of this scrape, then you'll just have to let me dunk again. And they had a big problem with players like, everybody back. I got to hear this.
Larry Bird, get
I got to know what happened to that chicken.
Yeah, where did the car end up?
I think that when you dunk, not only should your team get 2 points, the other team should lose 2 points.
Oh, that's really good. That's
because great. Really, that's what a dunk signifies. Like, I am dunking
right.
on you.
What if...
Like, not
what,
like I shot a basket yeah. and made it. Like, this dunk is to embarrass you.
Yeah, what if dunking was like the golden snitch of basketball? Uh-huh. And the first team that does it gets 150 points.
And the game's over.
And the game's immediately over. And to sort of make it a little bit harder to do. We're going to raise that hoop up like 10 more feet, huh? Let's get that hoop.
And
like
then everybody has to lift you up and everybody's dunking together.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I'm talking about full-blown cheerleader pyramid to get, I bet. And but see, then you start getting folks like, I mean, Dikembe Mutombo doesn't need as many folks helping him up. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a, like, right. Yao Ming is finally like, you know, he's not the best shooter in the league, but I mean, he's the fucking Harry Potter of snitch dunking.
If you want to instantly improve basketball, start playing the game with a water balloon shaped like a basketball. Because what is that going to lead to? No dribbles, thank you.
Yeah.
Soft passes, absolutely. One dunk and the game's over.
Yeah.
And it's like such an explosive finish. Phil, that's it. That's the end of the
what
game.
What if it's a Gatorade balloon and then it's two birds, one stone?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. You just put the coach right under the basket.
Both
when
the
dunk.
Coaches have to stand under their baskets too. That's key.
That's fun. And maybe we could, maybe it could be like a fundraiser.
Or a fundraiser. Oh, it's going to be that for sure. There's a dog park near my work, and sometimes I go there to eat lunch. I don't even ask to pet the puppies. I just sit on a bench and eat a sandwich and watch the dogs play. And then I leave when I'm done. I feel like this is totally normal, or at least not creepy behavior. But the other day, a dude got all up in my face about it. He said if I didn't have a dog with me, I shouldn't be there. I got flustered and left, but now I can't help but wonder, was he the asshole or am I unknowingly creeping out the puppies? And that's from Puppy Peepin' in Provo.
He is the asshole.
No,
no puppy.
He's not.
Nope. No. The person yelling at him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good.
Real quick sidebar. Anthony on Twitter tweeted that Scott Bakula is decent at best, and I responded, "Don't be a moron." First one down, and I feel like I'm like fucking trembling right now. Like I feel
17
high.
Minutes. No one's tweeted about Cary Elwes.
Okay.
We'll get him. We'll get him.
We'll get him. We'll bring him in.
I still haven't picked one.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I'm like, ooh, fuck. I'm like fucking hopped up right now. I'm feeling punchy. This is.
I did a Google search for the nicest celebrities because I want to. Yeah, I want to be worth it. You know
yeah,
what I
sure.
mean? Like, I want
ooh,
to be.
Justin, can I pitch one for you?
Yeah, sure.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, is he active on Twitter though? It seems like he would have better things to do.
But no, that's going to be a rough one because like I feel like Steve Buscemi falls into this weird category of just like everybody feels like, oh, it's okay to make fun of how he looks. Oh, Steve Buscemi, it's totally fine to make fun of how he looks. That's okay. That's like cool. We can meme that. Right. That's easy. It's not. Guess what? When you make fun of Steve Funny, see, even I'm in it. I'm too deep in. Even when you make fun of Steve Buscemi's appearance, that's not a meme. That's a mean. So just think about what you say. Just like think about how your words would affect him.
What about Keanu Reeves? How is
see,
that like
I think
guys?
He. I think that would be a busy job for you, but I think he needs the most defending.
Mm-hmm. Like it seems like he might need some help.
I think he'd really appreciate it above all else, but like in a really chill way. Like, I thank you. Like,
oh, he's a
I
chill. He's a chill
that.
Bro. I can't believe this has happened to you, and I want to apologize. I don't even own a dog. I'm not like a part of that community. I want to apologize on behalf of them because it's not a crime to look at some dogs. It's not like you're posted up outside of the babies like chill out after they get
the baby out. Park where they can go out and just like poop and run around off
and
leash.
Do whatever. It's not like that. It's not like you're scoping out somebody's kids. You know what I mean? You're just looking at some dogs and dogs are there to be looked at. That's just it. That's just it.
Especially if you're not bothering anyone. And you're not doing shit. Like, it would be one thing if you were walking around the park being like, oh, is that your dog? Nice, nice. How you doing?
No,
that's creepy. But if you're just, like, sitting on a bench outside the fence eating your sandwich.
Now, wait. You've just said it. What's on that sandwich? What's on the sandwich? Because if you be honest with yourself, if you're eating a sandwich full of things that dogs would just go fucking crazy for, like bagging strips, then.
BSLT.
A BSLT, then you know what you're doing. You know you just go to that dog park just to see who you can get riled up. And maybe you should leave.
Are you riling up the puppies? Are you sitting there like whispering through the fence? Like I heard Princess Tickles saying some bullshit about you and you're trying to get like, you know, a kerfuffle going on in the dog park. Are you a dog park like dirt stirrer? Well, maybe don't do that. But if you're just going to calmly sit there, maybe do a little Candy Crush on your phone, eat a sandwich, and in between Candy Crush levels, scope out the puppies.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
I just remembered another person's joke, which I'd like to say on the podcast, which was from the hit website, Steve Don't Eat It, which is maybe my favorite website. And Steve Don't Eat It once reviewed Beggin' Strips, which they ate, and said that it tasted like the smoky puke of 1,000 maniacs. So that's good. I don't think there's anything wrong to look at a dog. I really don't think there's anything wrong to look at a dog. Are they saying that you're some sort of like pervert for looking at a dog? If that's the case, I've seen every Air Bud movie. Does that make me a pervert? Yeah, it does. It definitely, definitely does.
Definitely, definitely does. I have a few names I want to float by you guys.
Okay.
Just like celebs that have been rattling around my head. Okay. Tom Cavanaugh.
Ooh.
How does that? That's a good pick, right?
I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan Tom, of Tom. But I feel like Tom is like, I feel like there's a chance that in my, I don't want to be somebody who I think I'll meet. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
I feel
exactly.
Like also, a chance I really feel I like Tom Cavanaugh. Cavanaugh can really hold his own too. You know
yeah, Tom
I mean?
Cavanaugh doesn't really need to.
Okay, let
I've
me
listened
hit you with
to
this.
Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, and I
feel that's another thing. I don't think we should do a podcaster because that's fucking.
Okay,
weird.
Let me hit you with this. I'm pretty into this one. I'm kind of this one's been rattling around. What about Joshua Jackson?
Ooh.
Now that's someone I could really sink my teeth into.
Now, Joshua Jackson, I could get Joshy, as I call him, I could get into. I'm currently deciding between, it's going to be one of these two, either Joshua Jackson or Stephen Amell.
Who?
Stephen Amell.
See, I don't.
The Arrow.
Oh.
Now, that's going to be busy for you because now he's all up in the WWE.
Yeah, and I feel like he's a little bit too new on the scene. Where yeah. I feel like a Joshua Jackson, you're going to get people. For example, I see this guy on Twitter talking about how Cary Elwes is so good in Princess Bride and the worst piece of shit in everything else.
Oh, boy. Did you tweet at him yet?
Yes, I did.
What did you say?
I feel like I could have been meaner. I think I just said he, because he also said, I talked to Cary Elwes and he said he died after Princess Bride, so he's sorry, but it's hard to act as a rotting corpse. And I responded, he's alive and well and an amazing actor. Thank you very much. I think I probably could have been meaner.
I don't feel like anybody would say anything negative about Joshua Jackson.
And that's why when they and that's why when they
do get a lot of like keep swimming in Dawson's Creek and stay out of such and such. You don't think you get
but
that
do
kind
I
of
okay, but here's the question. This is really actually very important. Do I keep a Twitter handle search for Joshua Jackson, of course, that's Van City Jacks, or do I keep a Joshua Jackson cowards column?
You're gonna have to do both. I've got both going right now.
Okay, that's good.
I've got an at Cary Elwes, and I have just Cary Elwes subtweeting. I'm ready to jump down anyone's throats.
Travis also has the Cary Elves with a V, just like if people misspell it and they're trying to talk shit.
And Carry Elwes and Car. It's basically.
It's a lot.
I've had to get a second screen.
I do want to say, Justin, Joshua Jackson. I don't think people are going to say a lot of mean things about him, and that's exactly
like
why
so
you need
nice.
To defend him. Is because when they do say a mean thing about him, I don't think that he'll be.
I just want to be active in this pursuit. I don't want it to be a hollow thing. Like
yeah.
Like everything else in my life, I lose interest.
Kim.
You know,
can we acknowledge the fact that we have been recording now for about 40 minutes ish? And in that time, in a 40 minute window in the universe, people have said mean shit about Cary Elwes and Scott Bakula. Yeah. I didn't expect that kind of turnaround on this goof. That, yep. There were
Travis,
mean things.
Unfortunately,
said, totally,
I'm going to have to take away your verified checkmark because apparently you don't know fuck all about Twitter.
Yeah.
I was thinking like maybe once a day somebody would say something mean about Cary Elwes. I don't know that I've got the time.
Yeah.
I got it. Pierce Brosnan.
Solid.
Don't even.
Boom goes to dynamite.
Solid. Don't even say anything about Pierce Brosnan on Twitter. I will come for you. Get nice. Pierced.
I like that because I think that Pierce Brosnan seems tough, but I think that he's probably a very sensitive soul that if you say like, yeah, go sit in your invisible car, dumbass. Like, he probably cries a little bit.
Yeah,
and he should. That's mean. People shouldn't say that.
I'm going to spend more time standing up for Pierce Brosnan. Not going to follow him. It seems like
fuck no. There's no way on earth I'm following Scott Bakula.
His new NCIS.
Fucking no way. Are you kidding me? No,
that's too close to the heat. I don't follow Cary Elwes.
Quit saying my name rhymes with Dracula.
Scott, I fucking get it, okay, dog? Let's go to the Money Zone, please, God.
Yeah, here we go. Almost done. Let me. You guys go ahead and start. I just got to get my Pierce Brosnan column like up and running.
Yeah. Start the dragnet. I'm gonna start talking about MeUndies, the best underwear that you can wear. Whether you're wearing a suit, whether you're wearing sweats, you spend 24 hours a day in your underwear. The underwear that you wear down there all the time against your most precious materials, it's probably pretty boring. MeUndies wants to fix that. They want to make it exciting. They want to make it
liven up your downtown situation, like a Mardi Gras or like Carnival.
All these underwear is made out of sustainably sourced modal. And that's a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Gang, I have like 7 or 8 pairs of MeUndies now, and it's like, I get excited to wear them. And pretty soon I'll have replaced my whole collection with MeUndies. And then it's just going to be a nonstop, just like cool breeze festival down there.
I tell you what, the MeUndies has become my metric for when it's time to like do laundry. Because it's like, oh, on my last pair of clean MeUndies, it's laundry day. Got it.
Yeah. MeUndies is dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear. In this pursuit, I would say that they have already succeeded. If you don't love your first pair, they're free. No questions asked. Here, have your money back. There's dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear. Shipping is free in the US and Canada, and you can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. You can get the subscription or a single pair, and you can get 20% off your first order if you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother for 20% off your first order. Trust me on this. It feels so good. They have cool designs all the time. You can get matching underwear for you and a loved one. Travis and I wear matching underwear almost every day. We text each other in the morning, like, which one are you going with? And Travis is like, the one with the different boom boxes on it. And I'm like, hell yeah, son.
I sent him a picture of my bear dick, and then I sent him a picture of my dick with the MeUndies on. And like, but like, if you flip back and forth between them real quick, it looks like a magic trick.
Yeah, it looks like a magic eye painting.
I'd like to take a moment, if you guys are quite finished, to talk about Boll & Branch. We have been sleeping on Boll & Branch sheets here at our house for a couple months now, and I can't sleep without them. If I go out of town, I just lie awake staring at the ceiling, just praying for daylight. And that's the way I've been ruined by Boll & Branch. They will let you try these sheets for 30 nights, and I promise you, you're gonna need just one. And if you don't love them, you can send them back. You have nothing to lose. It gets even better, though. You can go to BollAndBranch.com today for 20% off your entire order. Sheets, towels, blankets, duvet covers, everything, plus free shipping. This is the only place that these are sold, so you're going to need to go to their website. And they are super comfortable sheeps with sheets, and they're sheeps also. They'll sell you sheeps, but that's, I wouldn't recommend it. You don't know how to care for them. But go to BollAndBranch.com today, and you get 20% off your entire order if you use the promo code MYBROTHER, Boll, B-O-L-L, and branch.com, promo code MYBROTHER. This is sustainable, responsible methods of sourcing and manufacturing, and they end up with really comfortable sheets that you're going to love. So one more time, Boll, B-O-L-L, and branch.com, promo code MYBROTHER.
I would also like to tell you a little bit about Smash Fiction, the podcast. You should listen. You should subscribe. Here's why. The Power Rangers vs. Godzilla. Gandalf vs. Dumbledore. Batman vs. Dr. Doom. The Smash Fiction podcast settles the most important issues of the day. Who would win if different fictional characters clashed in battle of strengths or wits? Smash Fiction is a debate-style comedy podcast in which a rotating cast of nerds battle on behalf of their chosen characters and a single impartial judge decides who wins. I think that sounds pretty damn good. Who would win in a fight? Pierce Brosnan, Cary Elwes, or Scott Bakula?
Scott Bakula.
I actually think it would be Pierce Brosnan.
I started listening to this podcast, and my first thought was, wow, this guy has a great voice. And then I thought, man, I'm learning a lot about architecture and design. And then I realized I'd been listening to 99% Invisible, and that was on me. That's my fault.
You goofed up.
I goofed up.
You blew it.
I blew it, okay? I just want to get that off my chest.
I have another message here. This one's for M. Huff, and it's from a bunch of stuff. It's from Weed Mom, Fish Ass Lover, Cat Hustler, and One Lunch Man. And this Motley,
my what? Fish Ass Lover.
What? This Motley Crue says, happy birthday to our favorite whiskey dad. We are so delighted to be friends with a wonderful owl aficionado like you, even if you can't help it with all these gosh darn little rude language in here, ridiculous eggs. Whether it's yelling about treats or thirsting hard over ruinous elves, you're our problematic fave, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Here's to many more years of nestling in the garbage together and wallowing in our filthy... Hey, let's look up that word before we just say it.
I think it's a bistro.
Occasionally shortened to Fujopan or just a Fujo, this word is a slang term for an extremely bad quality manga scanslation. And now I gotta fucking Google that one. The art of turning a manga of one language into a different language includes translation of the story and editing of the actual artwork. Scanslations are done by fans for the whole fan community.
This seems okay. Go ahead and say it, Griffin.
Wallowing in our filthy Fujo ways. If I just said, like, that's the most work I've ever done to make sure something's not racist. So please, like,
So the next time we say something racist, please remember this and just, like, give us credit for this.
But this may have been racist. Whatever. Their birthday is Saturday, September 6th, so they wanted this message around then. So, like, this message so far, I would say, has been just a complete catastrophe. Just a complete fiasco from fucking start to finish.
I'm sorry, Imhoff.
Imhoff, we did our best. We literally did. That's the most effort I've ever done on this podcast before. Happy birthday, Whiskey Dad. And just good luck. Good luck to me. I'm going to need my own fucking Scott Bakula Defender after this episode goes up.
New to Maximum Fun, the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved or just interested in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. All sponsored by Grazex, the latest grass replacement pellet from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. Find us at MaximumFun.org or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And if it's not clear, this is a comedy podcast. Beef out.
Hey, how about another Yahoo Ditto?
Yeah, I got one here. And this one was sent in by Level 9000 Yadru Drew Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user, The Hooded One.
Ooh.
Who says, I've got a secret. The Hooded One says, where can you find lots of gold? I'm a man in my late 30s. I want to have a lot of treasure. Gold, jewels, rubies, diamonds. Where can I find this? I want to have my own Steve Zahn Sahara quest. I want to have my own national treasure, Book of Secrets. I want to have my own The Mummy 2. The Mummy gets back in there.
The Mummy 2 still mummying.
The Mummy 2, too many mummies.
This is a good question, and I'll tell you why. Because... where is treasure kept? In a treasure chest,
okay.
Right? Okay. So, like, it's really a chicken and the egg thing. Oh. Because if you buy the chest first and then you get some gold, like, just like a regular amount of gold that you would get, and then you dump in the chest, I bet it looks ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It has to be at least 3/4 full for it to even, like, merit having a chest full of treasure.
How much treasure do you have to get before, like, you sit there and be like, I need to get a chest for that?
I need to get a chest for this, because the problem is, like, before that moment, what do you just have? Like a Kroger bag full of gold?
You got a reusable, like, shopping bag of gold.
Do you think you start with a very, very small chest?
Yeah.
And you, like, just
a big chest is mostly full of balled up socks, but then there's some gold on top of it.
That they never dig deep in movies where treasure chests are unearthed to see it's just like USA Today's that have been crumbled up.
We found old Blackbeard Pirate Carruthers' secret chest of goodies. Oh, sick. Look at all these gold nugs. This is it's mostly socks in here. Here's a note. Yar, gotcha. Gotcha, suckers.
Please don't take the socks. I need those.
I need these socks.
You know, there was the reason that they have to have real food in commercials is that Chunky was trying to sell this new soup with lots of vegetables, but the vegetables kept sinking to the bottom. So they filled the bowl with marbles and then dumped the soup on top of it to make it look more vegetable.
That would be Chunky.
Yeah, it would be very
that chunky. Actually sounds mad Chunky.
And exceedingly crunchy, I would say.
I learned that on 99% Invisible, by the way, so in case you're...
Well, but so then did somebody eat the marbles?
Somebody, no, Travis, they didn't put marbles in the fucking cans. You couldn't go down.
But then why? But you posed it as though they did that, and then there was some executive like, hey, from now on, real food in the bowls.
No, it's crazier than that. The federal government somehow unearthed their secret. Like, what kind of deep throat, marble mouth nonsense is like somebody's like, listen, you need to dig deeper. Dig below the
vegetables. Dig below the carrots.
To see if they're, get an X-ray camera and run it over the commercial and see if you spy any marbles.
You gotta jump into the screen like Poltergeist.
I've always felt that, like, this question makes me think of how much video games lied to me about how this scenario works as an adult. Of, yeah. Like, walking around and, like, smashing a pot or, like, opening a box and finding money.
No rupees
in there,
yeah.
How much better the world would be if that happened, except that, like, there's somebody on the other end of that.
Yeah. Let me hit you guys with this scenario. You take a baseball bat and a slingshot for the jugs and vases that they have up on shelves that you can't reach normally, and you want to blast them like that. I think if you took those two pieces of gear and basically were given 10 minutes to just supermarket sweep fucking Guy's Grocery Games the whole space, if you do that shit up in Glenn Beck's house... Because you know, if there's one motherfucker on this earth that wants to leave behind a legacy of a pirate horde, it's that fool that's like, sell me your gold. I'm good for it. Why do you need all that gold, Glenn Beck? I'll tell you why. Because you want to be the new pirate king. That's what's up. If you go up in his house and you do smash open a jug, he's like, oh, no, you found it. Like 100 golden coins comes out. I'm saying when that dude dies or just retires from the television and radio, he's gonna be like, I know I've been kind of an abrasive figure, but
somewhat polarizing.
But anyway, I'm about to kick off my own rat race, and then he drops
my
a full
house
blown
with bats.
A full
I
blown.
I hate all
rat.
My stuff so
oh,
much.
You know it's not in his house. His house will include the first piece of the map. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to need to, like, look behind a portrait of him.
Fuck that, no! Oh my god, you guys! Look at every chalkboard doodle he's ever done on his crazy show. And there's, if you look up in the top left corner, there's a little bit of the map every time.
Every time.
It's all so obvious now.
It's all been waiting there for
Pirate
you.
Pirate King Beck, yar, it's me, Obama's a Muslim. Yar.
Yar.
You crack open the chest and it's like, fuck yeah, there's full of gold coins. You dig in a little bit deeper. And it's full of also some socks and a note that says, everyone forgets about the Hussein in the middle of Barack Obama's name, but I think it's important. Anyway, congratulations.
Enjoy this $150 and socks.
I feel like the video would talk about how it's all leading you to the greatest treasure imaginable. When you open the last chest, it's just a note that has the word freedom written in block letters. It's like, fuck.
He's right, though. Is he right? He's not right. He's not right.
What if you open the chest and it had $1 million in it or like a lot of money in it, but all in pennies?
Oh,
so
man,
like it was really full, but like it's pennies.
Yeah, for sure, Trav.
What if Sahara ended and Steve Zahn and McConaughey and I forget who else was in that picture finds
Beckinsale?
Beckinsale finds the old sunken plane full of treasure and it's like, fuck yeah, guys, we won, we beat all the pirates and we did it. And they crack it open and it's 700,000 pounds of pennies. It's like, well, let's just go home because like we're in the desert.
Never mind.
I'm not carrying this out.
The amount of money it would cost to get these pennies from one place to the other would cost more than the pennies themselves. You got us again, Glenn Beck. Damn you, Pirate King.
Classic Glenn.
Do you think there's a piece of the map in Glenn Beck's body?
Yeah.
like
the blue lady from Fifth Element?
Like a Horcrux kind of thing?
I was imagining more like Cheech Marin in, I think, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. You pop out that eye, that fake eye. What is that back there?
It could also be the tattooed top of the dude's head.
Holy
shit. Oh, don't say it. Oh, what is it? Oh, Cutthroat Island. Oh, whew.
It could also be tattooed all over his body like Blind Spot.
Yep.
You always see Glenn Beck. He's got a tightly buttoned up shirt and his pants are always on. You never see Glenn Beck without his pants on. And apparently I'm the only person that is weird to. Because if you took those pants off, Blind Spot treasure map. I've never seen Blind Spot except when John Hodgman was on it. But I think it's about one with a treasure map on her body.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Which is also like Prison Break, right?
Oh, God. All these last shows are connected.
The last shot of the first episode of Prison Break is a young man, I believe Wentworth Miller, taking off his shirt to reveal that he has tattooed a map of the prison on himself. And that's why I said, well, I won't be watching this.
Thank you. Thanks,
anymore.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun, but I think I'm going to go ahead and hop off here before this train really gets moving. I think I can still walk back to the station.
I would
here,
love if, so if that, that scene happened and you revealed the map and one of the other prisoners was like, fuck, do you think the problem was we didn't know how to get around the place? Like, we know where those rooms are. We've been in here for 20 years.
They give this to you in a brochure when you come in.
Are you like, fucking kidding me? It's on the wall.
Do you think they refer to that frequently during the escape attempt? Like, hey, I'm lost. Wentworth, take off your shirt so I can stare at your belly.
Remind me where the broom closet is.
So we're behind your nipples right now, I guess. Or one of your nipples. And we gotta get to your other nipple.
We just have to get to this hole. That's my belly button. Fuck, that was what the whole plan hinged around.
That's our escape hole. Into your tum-tum, damn it.
I think we took a left here, and then we took a right at this R. Crumb drawing that says, keep on trucking. It's like, no, actually, that one was on there before. That's not actually part of the map. I should have clarified. I kind of worked around that.
Just real quick, I think we're probably winding down, and it seems like we're on the sort of the slow sunsetting of Yahoo Answers. As it, so it's if it were up to me, we'd do it forever. But I feel like Yahoo Answers is like you're going to wake up one morning and it's just as quickly as Travis was verified, Yahoo Answers is just going to be obliterated. So like I want to like celebrate the good times while we still have them. And Brooks Oglesby sent in this Yahoo. It was asked by an anonymous user, which kind of defeats the point of it. But this anonymous user says, I'm sorry for trolling, and then confesses, I posted the diarrhea questions online, and I realize now it might have annoyed some people. I won't do it anymore. I'm really sorry. That's the thing. Like, we harp on people for saying some stuff on Yahoo Answers, and I feel like when somebody is a bigger person and tries to get back in our good graces and like accepts and acknowledges what they've done, I feel like maybe we should recognize that as well.
You're right, Griffin. Not enough people make amends sort of online, you know?
I just don't want to paint everybody on Yahoo Answers with the same big dumb brush. I posted the diarrhea questions on. Like, they're owning it. They own it.
Diarrhea questions capitalized like the white, like, is it like
the Panama, like question? The Panama Papers?
Yeah.
Like the Gushy Tapes?
Yeah. Is this a thing that everyone, like, when you say the diarrhea questions, you don't have to say, like, which ones? Because it's not some, it's the diarrhea
questions. It's the diarrhea questions. I'm really sorry, though.
If this person's listening, I pardon you. You're pardoned.
I feel like the three of us would be the ones to do that. I feel like we would have the legal ability to pardon people on Yahoo Answers. I hope that we get a fucking email from Marissa or Melissa, the owner of Yahoo, just like giving us like a 1 week heads up. Like, hey, boys, I know how important this product is to you. Just wanted to give you a 1 week head up to like record all your Yahoos for stockpile them, like take shelter and stockpile your shit.
Screenshot the shit out of it and then build a house out of those screenshots.
I kind of feel like our regulars need to start like field stripping, like conserving them. You know, like they need to start like have a bunker full of Yahoos.
Just pickled Yahoos, like, yeah.
Yeah, they can keep stored. Listen, folks, that's going to do it for us on our podcast, My Brother, and Me. This one. The one you're listening to.
The 301.
301. Thanks for listening. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. We have a couple live shows that we can't announce yet, but they're soon.
When are we going to announce them? Like next week?
I think next week.
That sounds a boot right.
Yeah.
That's not a subtle hint. We're not going to Canada.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, we can say where we're going, right?
No.
But it's good. You're going to love it.
We can't say where we're Chicago. We're not doing Chicago. Sorry,
we're not
Chicago,
going to Chicago.
No, we're not going there. But we're going to announce it'll be two cities, big shows. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be like a quick turnaround. So just be ready for that.
We want to say thanks again to MeUndies, who are dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother for free shipping and 20% off your first order.
I want to say thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a fantastic album, and I really like it. We all really like it. It's a fantastic band.
Do we congratulate our friend Lynn for winning the Pulitzer Prize? Because I just want to say that if we haven't.
Oh, already. Yeah, he did that.
Yeah. He did it. We didn't.
We really didn't do shit about it. Well,
if you do. Oh, by the way, yeah, buy the book. Buy the Hamilton Tome, as commonly referred to in the vernacular. The Hamilton book. It's like back ordered on Amazon because it's the number one best selling book ever on the planet or something.
Yeah.
But like, we're in it, so you can check it out. There's a page where they mention us.
I do want to say, like, a legit thanks to anyone who, like, supported the efforts to get me verified on Twitter. I have no idea what ended up pushing it over the line, but everybody was really on board with it and gave me a lot of wonderful congratulations when it did happen. And thank you for that, and I really appreciate it. And I also want to say, sincerely, everybody should go watch Gallivant and then tell ABC.
Jesus,
to make
all right, no, stop.
I'll be so sad if we don't get a third season.
Go listen to the other shows on the Maximum Fun Network. Go to MaximumFun.org and just fucking click anywhere and start listening to shows like Getting Curious and Throwing Shade and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Bullseye and Jordan Jesse Go and Judge John Hodgman. We have other shows. You can find them all at McElroyShows.com. Is that a .com? Did we secure that?
Yeah, it's .com.
Nice. We do a bunch of other shows. Shows like The Adventure Zone, our D&D podcast, or Sawbones, Medical History Show, or Schmanners, or Interrobang, or Rose Buddies, or Cool Games, Inc. Bunch of different shows. You can find them all at macroyshows.com. Scope it.
Okay, we're done. Griffin, do you have a file Yahoo?
I got a couple, and I've been looking. They're both really, really good.
Just pick one.
Okay.
You can't be burning through them like you did last
week.
This is like a finite thing.
Aaron Keith sent this one. Thanks, Aaron's by Yahoo Answers user. They're anonymous, but they did ask this important query. Can I still vape when I have walking pneumonia? Gotta have my vape.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, "What do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man."
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, "Us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons and Dragons."
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McElroys. We host the Adventure Zones, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.